Welcome to the podcast, Winning Through Culture, where we're helping entrepreneurs stay impactful and relevant. I'm your host, Tim Flanagan.
I am very excited to be with a longtime friend, someone who I haven't seen in a few years, but I'm happy to be with on Zoom today, Neil Peterson. Neil is founder of an organization called No Barriers. He is a South African national who has soloed around the world on a sailboat, has amazing stories there. He's the author of a book, Journey of a Hope Merchant. And we're going to talk today with Neil, not only about his story, which I want him to share, because I think it's not only fascinating, but it speaks to the power of the human spirit. But we're also going to get into a discussion around the issue of racism, not just in America, but globally. And I really am looking forward to Neil sharing his perspectives on this topic, as he is a world traveler, he's a citizen of many nations, so to speak. And I'm really, really looking forward to this conversation, Neil. So welcome, and thank you for making the time. We're coming together here, I in Charlotte, North Carolina, you all the way in South Africa, where you've been quarantined now for what, 90 days almost. So it's great to have you here. It's great to see you and Darlene again, and welcome.
Well, thank you, Tim. It's been many, many years from the first time. I think you were 5 or 6 years into your role at Mass Mutual in Charlotte, when you brought me in to come and do the Quota Buster and share my initial story there. And then we had the fortuitous opportunity a few years later to run into each other in Puerto Rico when I was passing through Puerto Rico on my big catamaran. So yes, we have a long history.
Well, I you know, I've always been fascinated by your story, and you referenced that time. That was actually a firm meeting we did, and it was the first time we actually opened that meeting up to clients. We had a lot of people from our clients of the firm come and listen to your talk about your life journey and the book, Journey of a Hope Merchant. So I'd love to, you know, just to have you start to share your story and tell us a little bit more about who you are and how you've become the world traveler you are.
So in a nutshell, I grew up in Cape Town, South Africa, dealing with a physical disability, could not walk as a kid unaided because I was not born with a complete hip socket and went through 3 major surgeries. I also grew up in a coastal city where I saw the ocean and just fell in love with the sea and that whole concept of diving beneath the ocean waves and eventually sailing the oceans of the world. And that dream to sail the world became a very powerful dream that was born in books and was born out of an idea. And people said to me, you can't do this. You are classified as a black kid or colored kid in South Africa. This was during the apartheid years. You disabled. You are from a working class family. Give up the dream. But I would not give up the dream. I was determined to find a way of how to make it. What is it going to take to do it? And to go, not to prove the critics wrong, but to prove to myself that I am right to dream, that I can do this. And so the journey that began on the South African shores ended up me designing and building my own boat. I could not find sponsorship. I couldn't get the financial help I needed for this campaign. So I became a commercial diver and took high-risk jobs around the globe, working oil platforms, mining diamonds on the seafloor, anything to earn the living to invest that money and turn that little bit of earnings into a little bit more, making the power of investment, the compounded interest, the return of the markets help. And I began that project with not even the equivalent of a car, the cost of a car. And I began by building a hull and a deck and then continued working. And then I ended up getting the hardware that I could put on the deck, found the money, earned the money to build the mast and build the keel, eventually to get secondhand sales. And finally, it was time to prove that I'm going to do this and seeking sponsorship and people saying, too high risk. The South African media nicknamed the boat the floating coffin because they believed I killed myself in this boat because of what I lacked. What they didn't see was the determination, the dedication to the dream. And that is what got me through some of the most difficult periods in my life and has taught me as I've built my future companies, my new companies, and what I've done in the past with my other businesses has always been rooted in that you've got to have a vision and you've got to create a culture of leading people along with you, bringing people on the journey and sharing and inspiring. It's not just about you as a leader. Yes, I may be a solo sailor and I may have gone to some of the greatest yacht races as a solo racing yachtsman, but there's always been an amazing team behind me. And that team comes to you because they believe in what you're doing. They believe in the mission. They believe in the culture of the operation you've pulled together of lifting people up and saying, this is possible. We're going to go against the odds. It's not about being first over the finish line. Winning is finishing. Winning is bringing everybody along with you. So the metrics of our organization, our culture, has been how do we prioritize what is a winner? And we don't measure winning by prize money. We don't measure winning by being first. We measure winning by how much did we learn? What did we overcome? Who did we inspire? Who did we help in the process of doing this? And as that solo sailor, I'm alone on the boat, but I count on my team to have gotten me there. And I'm the orchestra conductor. When something goes wrong, the right person's pipe up a little bit louder and help me solve that problem on the middle of the ocean. When the weather turns nasty, I draw upon that inner resource, but I have the meteorologist who can advise me on the strength of that storm. So I have the expertise always at our fingertips. And building with those experts, we can overcome anything. And we have overcome anything and almost everything. I've done transatlantic races. I've raced twice into the solo around the world race. I've gone after records in some of the other campaigns. And it's been a remarkable journey. And as you know, I wrote the book, Journey of a Hope Merchant. I've been on the motivational speaking circuit for a long time, helping organizations. And that's how you and I met, coming to help your organization, of how can we do things better? How can we do things different? How can we look at every option and know that we have created the best people? And it's all about our people.
Yeah, that story is fascinating. There's two things, Neil, that you said that that kind of jump out. I'd like to explore maybe a little bit further. One is you had a very compelling dream, and you would not quit on that dream. That is obvious. That dream also didn't come to fruition overnight. So how long did it take you to pull all this together? And we'll start there, and then I want to come back to your team. But how long did it take you to pull this dream together?
When I crossed the finish line of my last around the world race, it had been 18 years in the planning, preparation, training myself, building that organization, building that dream. 18 years it took. Now the race was
success.
Didn't overnight, just instant. But it was 27,000 miles to race around the globe. But in that process, I probably trained and participated in all kinds of events that accumulated close to maybe 110,000, 115,000 miles of nautical experience to get onto that start line, to become successful at racing around the world. And yes, I was 9 months from leaving South Carolina to returning to South Carolina, 195 days alone collectively at sea. That's 195 days without hugs. That's hard for me.
That's a long time for you.
Long time without hugs.
Yeah.
But that 18 years is what it took to be able to accomplish the 195 days. And what we learned out of that process and how we apply that today. And in March of 1999, I came around Cape Horn and encountered just one of the worst, horrendous storms of my career. The winds were gusting up 90 miles an hour, hurricane force conditions. The seas were three stories high of breaking white waves. And I did not know if I was going to live or die that night. Greater boats, big boats, big budgets had not survived some of those conditions. And this boat that I built was 38 foot that I lengthened for the round the world race. I didn't build this boat for the round the world race. I extended the boat by 2 feet to take that piece of hardware into this race. I was the smallest boat, the least funded boat. So here I am in one of the worst storms of my career, and I'm wondering, am I going to survive? And the next morning, I was able to take up my video camera and capture rounding Cape Horn, and this is a piece of the video I showed your group, and I have on our website of rounding Cape Horn and the power of the dream and the power of trusting your team, the power of digging deep inside at the darkest and the deepest moments of how to survive. And right now we have people digging very deep into their souls as they look at the COVID-19 situation and the loneliness and the isolation that's coming out of COVID-19. But we as human beings are extremely resilient, and we are able to dig deep when we face those challenges. And I also remember as a kid, when I was trying to get the experience of sailing and knocking on the hulls and asking people to take me sailing and getting all those rejections. It's no different to your agents going and cold calling, knocking on doors and picking up telephone and getting rejection after rejection. But you don't put the telephone in the cradle. You just keep saying, no doesn't mean no forever. It means just not now. And when somebody is ready to be a customer, and when you can demonstrate the value of why they need to be your customer, of what is that you're bringing to the table, how are you going to actually help them solve their problems, that's when we become successful. That's where the doors start to open and we start to actually build upon that foundation, and we keep building on that foundation. We eventually will soar.
So 18 years to make a dream come alive, 195 days around the globe. You, I know, shared earlier and know for a fact you didn't do this all on your own, although you did sail around the world on your own. So talk about the team that supported you and how you built that team, because that's, again, I think a remarkable part of the journey is that you were able to enlist so many people with some of the challenges you alluded to even get started. Talk a little bit about that.
So growing up in South Africa with the whole apartheid, people saying, you don't belong here, you can't do this. So I couldn't get the sponsorship. So nobody was going to write me the check. And that is how I came up with, my only choice is to build the boat. But I'd never built a boat before, but I crewed on many people's boats. I'd help them refit and repair their boats. So I had some basic knowledge. And I went and found people who had the experience, who didn't see the color of my skin, who were wanting to make their own lives better. And I was able to strike these deals and said, look, you need a customer. I need somebody with your skills. Let me help you as you help me. And that's how we began to build the hull and the deck. Was someone who was forward-thinking, who didn't see the problems of race. And once we started the hull and deck, my next job was finding who could supply me with the hardware and all the other things. So what is, again, going and talking to people, engaging people, finding a way to get them to buy into our ideas, because I couldn't pay full price and they weren't prepared to sponsor. So I had to have an incredible story to share, and they had to buy into the story of this kid who wants to go around the world, race around the world, and do these difficult things that they themselves didn't think they could do with all their privilege. So taking that and being able to be forthright and say, I don't have the money. I don't know if I'm going to pull this together, but I'm going to give everything to do it. I'm going to ensure that I have 100% commitment, and people buy into that. People want somebody they can trust. They want to be aligned with the values that someone is truthful, is forthright, has the determination. So eventually when we launched the boat and people looked at this boat, yeah, they were skeptics. And they said, you can't do this. That boat is too small. That boat is not right. But again, so many folks had volunteered. This was not about me anymore. This was about not letting them down. Those folks who stepped out, the North sailmakers who gave me a discount on my sales, I could not let them down. So even though I didn't have the right resources to do what I wanted to do, I knew I had to change my jurisdiction. And by default, I ended up accidentally in Ireland, which was probably the best thing that happened to me. When people looked at my boat and they saw where I came from in that boat, they didn't see the color of my skin. They saw a young person with that drive. And they said, if you could get this far with what you've got, what's just one more 3,000-mile crossing, one more ocean crossing with our help? And that's where people started to come together. They looked for the common interest, and I looked for what can I bring into their community. How could I go into their schools and support their community, educate their students about applying what they are learning to what their goals and dreams are? So we're going to turn the conversation beyond what do we want, but what can we do to make somebody else's life better? And that became the next big springboard of building that organization. And then I ended up meeting Gwen Wilkinson, who became my girlfriend and spent 8 years with me and following me all over the world on all these big races, being the support crew, helping to bring others along as part of the advanced team in those ports. And more than 1,000 people volunteered their time to be associated with our campaign. And here's the big difference was the professional racing teams I was up against, who had millions of dollars of sponsorship, they paid people to do a job. I couldn't pay anybody. I needed them to volunteer. And so when you get paid to do a job, you kind of do what you need to do to earn your living. But when you volunteer, you come with a different set of expectations. And you come because you believe in the leader. You believe in the organization. You believe in the culture. And you see yourself as a part of that. And that is what we are missing so much in corporate America and in our big conglomerates today. We are about making money. We're not about creating that culture that fosters the growth of people. And that's what I love about being an entrepreneur, is that we can make those changes quickly and we are not threatened by competition. Competition actually validates what we are doing as doing it right. And the more competitors out there doing these things, the stronger we become. And so instead of trying to be the big acorn tree, the big oak glowing tall as the big organization, I look at it more as being the shrubs in the garden, this plant or that plant that grows around the oak tree, that grows in the shadows of the mighty oak, but it's just as important and can bring all the components to what makes a garden a remarkable garden. And those are the entrepreneurs that we foster, we support today, and take the lessons of what we learned as a sailor, as someone who leads a sailing team and a business team, to now, how do we go forward and do business, especially in the post-COVID-19 world that we're going to have to adapt to? And those storms of the Southern Ocean are the same types of economic and cultural storms we are facing right now in our society.
Join us on our next episode, where we will continue the conversation with Neil and learn a little bit more about the power of the human spirit and ways to remain impactful at home and abroad in times of political and social change.